Let's have a seat down here. That's okay. Come on down, guys. It's great. Come on, kids. Come on down. Ah, so great. You guys know what to do? You want to stand up? And what are you going to do? You're going to bless the congregation. Do you want to do that? Do you want to bless the congregation? The Lord be with you. You see it? With me? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's great. It's good. Isn't it great to have kids in the house of the Lord? I'm not talking about you people. It's great. How many of you are excited today? How many of you are just so thrilled? How many of you are conforming well? Okay. You don't know what to do on that because you're like, do we raise our hand? Are we supposed to conform? Are we, you know? A preacher was part of the service. He was on the program that was their district convention, their assembly. And he was on the program. They actually had him on the program. And he was supposed to speak. He was supposed to preach for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Don't you wish you had that preacher? 20 minutes. And the other preachers who were there, his colleagues of ministry of the district, they explained that he only had 20 minutes on the program. And they said, you must conform to that standard. 20 minutes. And so to be sure, the other preachers sat behind him in the choir loft. Okay, so they're in the choir section. And during the first 20 minutes, his colleagues, as he preached, as this preacher preached, they would nod their head, you know, showing their moral support. And they would shout the occasional, amen, you know, preach your brother, hallelujah, you know, kind of like you people. And the preacher preached this 20 minutes. And he continued on. He preached for 30. Then 40. An hour went by. He continued for an hour and 10 minutes. And finally, one of his colleagues who were sitting behind there were going, oh. And somebody in the front row, don't you do this, please, took a hymn book and hurled it at the preacher. And at the appropriate moment, as he was kind of animated like some preachers could be, he went like this, and it hit one of his colleagues sitting in the choir section. And as the man was going down in the choir section, you could hear him say, hit me again, I can still hear him preaching. Disastrous things happen when you don't conform. We've been talking about busyness. And today we're looking at conformity. And I know it's probably going to be not the easiest for you today, but I kind of want you to get a handle on this busyness thing and what conforming busyness really is all about, because the world will sell us on really what it's about. Amen? They will. The world will get us if they can. Did you know Satan, that's how Satan works? And he'll get us. You know, somehow he'll get us. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to look at two verses today. Sounds so short, but I'll preach an hour and 10 minutes. Just kidding. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? It is. I tell you, conforming busyness requires captured thinking. Conforming busyness requires captured thinking. Now, what is conformity? People often ask that. What's conformity? I got a couple of definitions for you. Look at this. Look at these. Conformity. When people are free to do as they please, they usually imitate each other. Next one, please. Conformity. It's the one who is different that gets left out in the cold. Pretty true. Conforming busyness requires captured thinking. In the eyes of this world, being busy is what the world has sold us into thinking. Because typically, if you're busy, then you're successful. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you're busy, you're successful. You appear to be doing something important. I mean, you watch those people who are, where are you going? Busy. Where are you heading? Busy. What are you doing? Busy. Where are you going in such a hurry? I'm busy. Man, they look like they got it together. You know, because they're rushing somewhere. Most people don't even know where they're going, but they're going there. If you're busy, you appear to be doing something important. Now, the world has also taught us being lazy is okay too. The world says it's your right to have things your way right away, so I don't feel like doing anything. You can demand to lay on the couch all you want. Not get a job. Do the dishes. Just, you know, not even do the dishes. Let them sit there. You don't want to help others? I don't want to help others. It's my way right away. Last week we talked about the need for balance in our life because we can fall into the trap of doing nothing. There's lots of scriptures to talk about doing something for the Lord. That's not good for us. Being lazy is not good for us either. I like the way the Message Bible puts this verse 1. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. What would happen to you if you went like this and said, God, all of this is yours. Everything about me is yours. There's no better offering in this world than giving yourself to God. And when you do that, you need to understand, when you do that, when you say, God, here I am, I'm giving you everything, I'm giving you my sleeping, my eating, my going to work, my walking around everyday life, and I place it before you, the enemy will attempt to get you thinking about the things that the world would rather have you think on than godly living. So friends, you could be sitting and having your time with God, but you could be thinking about, man, I better get that roast done. You can be sitting and saying, God, I want to have this moving time with you. What time is it? Yeah, I got a few minutes. God, I got a few minutes for you. I got to get that thing done today. I got to get it ready for this afternoon. But God, I'll spend this time with you and hopefully you'll help me get the thing this afternoon done if I spend these 3 minutes. Oh, sorry, God, I took too much time already. We're done. And off you go. We need to start taking authority over how we think because Satan will get you. He will do his best to get you thinking opposite to what God has in store for you. God has an amazing life for every one of us here in this room. God wants you to be fruitful. God calls us. He calls us to be fruitful. Whatever you do has some kind of legacy behind it. It has some destiny behind it. God calls us to leave something that bears fruit. And most of us, we're not really pursuing what God has for us. We're thinking too much about what we want. We're getting up, we're being busy, we're rushing through everyday life. And most of us, if we're really honest, most of us are frustrated, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, discontent, murmuring, grumbling, and complaining. The world is full of that kind of stuff, and it's selling us well on thinking that way. God's word tells us we're to get out into the world and be like stars, bright lights shining out in the darkness. We have to be very careful that we don't let ourselves get sucked into the system of the world because that's what Satan wants from you. God says, please present your everyday, ordinary life. Give it to me. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, your everyday living. Give it to me as an offering. And watch what I'll do with it. message goes on and says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's a toughie. Because we kind of like to fit in, don't we? You kind of like to kind of fit in, you know? Don't know why, I don't really want people to know that I'm a Christian. I'll just kind of feel them out first. I remember I was sitting in a meeting and with a few of my colleagues, and it was actually a meeting, and I know this is on the internet, so I'll try and be careful, but I won't be at the same time because God is victorious. It was a meeting with, at the time, when there was the whole homosexual discussion, and I remember the local MP meeting with us, and we were going through a whole bunch of things, and he was telling us a whole bunch of things, and he was saying, oh, how important our assessments were of this whole homosexual bill that was coming to play, and he was saying how important our decisions were, and how he wanted to meet with us and have lunch with us in regard to this, and so he gathered us all around, and we were sitting around this table, and then I asked the question, and this is the question I asked. I said, does it make any difference what we say here at this table? Will this actually change this whole bill process? And I asked the MP this, and he kept skirting, and he, you know, oh, it's so important to have you guys here. This is why we're doing this. It's very important. It's very good. This is the MP. This is about maybe about 15, 20 years ago. And I pressed him again. I said, excuse me, but does this make a difference? I'm sitting here. I want to know, does this make a difference? What we're saying here, will it make any difference as far as the homosexual bill goes? And he said, no, would you be quiet already? And I walked away from there. I actually got up and said, there's no point in me staying here. Because I said, this is a waste of your time and my time. And he came out and he apologized and said, sorry. I said, it's okay. So you're honest. That's all I wanted. So I left. I got a few phone calls from my colleagues who were at that meeting. And they said, boy, we're so glad that you stood up for truth and blah, 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 blah. I would have, but I have a lot at stake in this community. Do you see what happens? Do you see how you can get sucked into what the world wants you to get sucked in? Do you see how Satan can use you even in situations where you can stand for truth? Because it's not popular. It's not popular to stand for truth. It's not popular to stand for the things of God, especially in our society now. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. By the way, that story, that comes from my previous ministry. It's not here, so don't worry about PA. PA's good. We're good. We're to be in the world, but not of it. Romans 12, verse 2 says, in the Amplified, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world pressure you to be the way that they are. The world may be in a hurry all the time, but you don't have to be in a hurry. The world may be too busy, but we don't have to be busy. We can have godly priorities in our life. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can be satisfied. We can be content. We can be fulfilled. We don't have to just be busy. We can be fruitful. Let people see in you what they need. It's a difference. I want more than anything in this world. I want to leave a legacy. Not financially, not of a neat house. You know, I want to leave a legacy with my kids and with people around me of who God is, to do what God has called me to do, to glorify Him even through my thinking. You're shaped by how you think. Your thinking affects your heart, and out of your heart, your mouth speaks. It's time for us to get our hearts so right that we think right, so we speak right. What is it that you talk about? What do you think about? It's time to capture your thinking and start thinking about what you're thinking. I'll say that again because I think I got lost in it. It's time to capture your thinking and start thinking about what you're thinking. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for me to start thinking what I'm thinking. I don't think you got through that without laughing. You got to capture your thinking. Conforming business requires captured thinking, but it also requires centered worship. Now, did you know that often, you know, what we think is worship, what we think about is often what we worship. And so if you're always thinking about, oh, I sure didn't like that. Oh, man, this really bothered me. I'm going to get it. That's what we worship. A lot of us worship complaining, criticism. We do, without even knowing it, we worship it. But if God is our focus, the one we worship, then everything else is secondary. Work becomes second. Financial success becomes irrelevant. Our busyness is not for our gain. It all becomes about God. If God is the center of your worship, you make the most of every moment. You make the most of your time. The most of your time. You use every opportunity. Don't let an opportunity pass you by. There are those opportunities that come your way that if you don't take those opportunities, they'll never come by again. And I know that's happened to me in my life. The Lord has just laid, Devin, I want you to do this. And I go, yeah, okay, God. And then I try and figure out exactly how I'm going to do it, the time frame, when the finances come in, when this happened, God, when that, and I have about 857 reasons why I should do it in 2 years from now. And I'll tell you, somebody else picks it up. God gets it done. And he might not use you to get it done. Don't put off things that you feel like God wants you to do, thinking that opportunity will come by again. Because there are some opportunities that come by over and over again, but there are others that don't come by. I'll tell you what happened. Our internet ministry. It's amazing during our internet ministry because, it was God who did it. It wasn't us. And, it was like God just laid it out there and he said, God doesn't always call you to do everything that's reasonable. Let me tell you that. And here he comes and do this. I don't even have a clue. I just learned how to turn my computer on. There are people who are gifted who know how to deal with the internet stuff. But what about the money, God? What about the money? Isn't it interesting that God calls people to do things who don't have a clue of what they're doing? I know. He calls people to do things who don't have any clue of what they're doing. Because then he gets the glory. Because if you feel that you're ready, then you're probably not going to lean on God. Because if you've got it all in a row, like this, then God goes, well, wait a minute, you don't even need me. If you don't take this opportunity, it may just pass you by. The Apostle Paul noted that there was a need for people. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, people can get so busy, or we're 10 miles ahead of God, or we're so focused on our busyness and not the Lord's business that we're 10 miles behind him. And God can send a moment your way, an opportunity for you to show him in a powerful way. And you can either take it or let it go by. Look at this. I want you to look at this video. Can you put the video up on the screen, Nathan? Is that possible? I hope. It'll take a moment because he's getting it going. It's just basically music just to, through the whole thing. But just watch this. Yeah, see, it's going good. It's thank you.
más de lo que puedas dar.
That video. You know, that little boy had cancer, and here's his sister cutting her hair. You'll remember this video today. You'll remember it. But I hope you remember a little bit more than that video. I hope you remember that God comes along you when you hurt and brings somebody like your little sister into it, who cuts her hair because she knows you're hurting. Do you see how God uses us for every opportunity to center on Him? Because Jesus understood the need to worship God, to center His worship on God. And when Satan attempted to sway him from the will of God, Jesus grabbed hold of his thoughts and he centered them around God. If you don't believe me, read Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was so centered in the will of the Father. In fact, he used the very words from God to defeat what the enemy attempted to do to him. And it's more than just a story. God showed us how we can maintain our center of living through Jesus by simply focusing and centering our worship on Him. And when we're tempted to have it all center in God, when you're tempted to look inward and have a pity party center in God, when you're tempted to, come on, succeed, I need more, I have got to get enough, center in God. When you're tempted to define yourself by what you have, center in God. When you want to complain, find fault, criticize, and just find the worst possible scenario in every situation, I'll tell you right now, you've got to center on God. How do you do this? You pray and you read God's word. Now, I know we can't sit in the corner all day and do this, but we do need to make time in our relationship with God so that He will be the center of our worship. And I mean, you know, you could say, I'm making a decision and I'm determined that I will be in and know the center of God, God's will for my life, not about God's will for my life, not from some preacher or some book I'll read, but I will know God and His will for my life. And the only way you'll know is by worshiping Him, by centering everything you do for His good purpose. Now, if I were you, this would be the time I would say, well, I just don't know what to do when I spend time with God. I got a heavy revy for you. Learn. Let's get a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Maybe pick up some music CDs from the library. I don't know. Lock yourself in the bathroom. Take some time. I think, you know what? I think even if you sat in a room for an hour and you said, you know, God, I don't have a clue what to do. I'm just going to stay here with you. I believe that God honors that. I believe it's all about just being with Him. Not what you do with Him, but just being with Him and using the opportunity He gives to you. Stepping aside from the busyness of all the other stuff that you have going on and all of the other projects and giving God just some time. Just give it some time. Communion is a great reminder for us, because I often wonder why God planned it this way. And I know why. for me, it's a reminder how Jesus used the opportunities around him to center his worship on the will of God, the will of the Father. There's no better way to conform busyness than by taking every thought captive in obedience to God. Every thought, before it even goes out of your mouth, taking it captive in obedience to God. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, what is it that you think about? Not right now, because you're probably thinking about that video and how that little girl used that opportunity to cut her own hair so that she could help her brother who's hurting. Jesus knew the perfect time to die, to give his life so that you could live. He took that opportunity for your hurt, for your pain, for your sorrow and grief, for your joy, for your enthusiasm, so that he could share it with you and that you could share it with him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about? Do you think about, well, I don't like that, and I want it to change? Do you think about, well, yeah, I know that God is kind of nudging me that way, but I'll do it when I get a little bit more time? Are you thinking about, I want it my way, right away? Or maybe you're thinking about, God, 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 I love you. God, there is no words that we could say here today except thank you for opportunities. Sometimes we miss them. Somebody else picks them up. God, we look at people who seem so successful even in their spiritual life and we want to be like them. God, we can be. We just need to center our worship, capture our thinking. May we do that, God, today. Not centering on ourself or what we want or what we think we need. God, not being so internal, but may we be more external, thinking about those opportunities you bring to us. And God, it may just be the opportunity to spend time with our family or spend time just getting to know you better. God, those opportunities, we need to seize those moments to be with friends, to be with our family, to be with you. God, we proclaim today that you're Lord of this church. We can't do it without you. Ease us, Lord, in the tensions of every day, so that in you we may find a way to knowing your will better for our life. We pray this to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to...